This mimer was delivered by the Rebbe on a Sunday night. And it was the eve of the 15th of Av, corresponding to 1983, Tavshim Mem Gimel. And the mimer opens with a quote from the Gemara in Masechet Tanit. Gemara on page 26 says, quote, Lehoyu yomim tevim li Yisrael, there were no greater holidays, meaning no happier days, no better good days, for the people of Israel, Chamisha Asa Ba'av, like the 15th day of Av, which is today, Uchayei Ma Kippur, and the day of Yom Kippur, v'chu. V'yidu Adir K'rabbe Sein Nesiyeinu. There's a well-known approach of our Rabbeim to understanding this by carefully analyzing the words. Ba'men Nishtana Tu Ba'av Mishar Yomim Tovim. What makes this holiday so much better or so outstanding vis-a-vis other holidays? Ad, so much so, Sha'emnim, that we say, Shalehoyu yomim tevim li Yisrael, there were no holidays, kamayu, like it. In other words, if the Gemara were to say, Chamisha asa ba'av, hoya yomtif, the 15th day of Av was a yomtif. Okay, so the 15th day of Av was a yomtif, that's nice. Why is it not a big yomtif today? It's a good question. Should it be a big yomtif? Maybe. But the Gemara would say it was a yomtif. Okay? So the Gemara is informing us it was a yomtif. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Lehoyu yomim tevim. There were no holidays like this holiday. Why? What makes this holiday so outstanding or special? And it seems to have something to do with Chamisha Asa, but you know, we don't have any clarity as to why this was more outstanding than the others. V'hine, the Pri Eitz Chaim, in the Kabbalah of the Arizal, that was documented by Rabbi Chaim Vital, the star pupil of the Arizal. So in Pri Eitz Chaim, it says, Mavur b'maylus yom zeh, explains about this day, Shehu yoyim shebay halavana hu b'shlemusim. This is the day when there is a full moon. Perhaps coming over here today, you notice the moon.
I took a picture.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I was thinking of taking a picture, but I was too much of a rush. It's beautiful. It's like it was very obvious. Right? We're up to the time of the year, and now when we get up early in the morning, it's already still dark outside. And the moon is setting. It's on the other side now, and it's unbelievable. Big full moon. Okay. So that's called in the language of an Aramaic, Kaima Sihara Bashlamusa. The moon appears in its fullest iteration. It's a full disk that's visible now. And that makes this holiday different than other holidays, because other holidays don't have a full moon. But this holiday has a full moon. So in some traditions, a full moon is a scary thing. That's when the werewolves come out, right? Mm. It doesn't have a good connotation. Mm. But in our tradition, in Torah tradition, a full moon is a positive thing. It has a good connotation. And what makes this Yom Tov special? That this special day has a full moon. There are other good days, they don't have full moons. This one, not only it's a good day, not only it's a day which historically good things happen for the Jewish people, but it has a full moon too. And therefore, something very special, Lehoyu Yemim Tevim Liyisrael. So here's the problem with that thesis. It's an interesting thesis. So that what makes this Yom Tov special is the full moon too. The problem with that thesis is, Harei B'mesha Amru Lehoyu Yemim Tevim Liyisrael, when you say Lehoyu, there were not. There were no other Yomim Tovim. What that means is no other Yomim Tovim. And other Yomim Tovim could include days like Pesach and Sukkot. So what's the problem? The problem is Gam Heim Chalim B'Yayim Tezvav L'Chedesh. They also fall on the 15th of the month. And guess what? When you're going out to your Sukkah, if it doesn't happen to be a rainy day by some miracle, if you look up in the sky, what will you see? A full moon. And on Pesach, if there's nice weather, and usually there is, you'll come out on your way home from davening, you'll look at the moon, and what will you see? A big full moon. No. So you can't tell me that this is a special Yom Tov, because in addition to being a Yom Tov commemorating whatever it is, it also has a full moon. Yeah, the major holidays of the Jewish people, at least two of them, fall on the 15th of the month, and we'll have a full moon accompanying them as well. Pesach, of course, is B'Tesvav B'Nisan. The 15th of Nisan is when we celebrate our festival of liberation. And Sukkot, the holiday of booths, is on Tesvav Tishrei. That's on the 15th of Tishrei. Begam Oz, that on both Nisan and Tishrei, Kaimo, Siara, Bashlomusa, the moon is in its full iteration, fully visible. Ve'im Kain, if so, this brings us back to the original question, Bamei, Mailas, Tesvav, Bechedesh Davke. What is this Tesvav Ba'av? What's the emphasis of the two Ba'av versus the Tesvav, the two of the other months? Okay, in other words, to recap, Reb Chaim Vital suggests that the reason that this is such a special holiday is because it has something to do with the fact that it's a full moon, it's on the 15th, and the Rabbeim say, yeah, that doesn't really cut it. Because at least two other major holidays, like Pesach and Sukkot, have the same exact quality. So you can't make a statement like, Lo yehoyu yamim tevim liyisrael, if the reason is the full moon. The nekudas habir bazeh, so the nekuda of the beer, this is a long beer from the Rebbe Rashab, which is found in the Maimer of 1910. But also there's a Maimarim of the Tzemach Tzedek earlier that kind of follow along these lines. The Mailas Miloi Veshlemus Halavana, the Tuba of, that the virtue of the full moon, because that's what Reb Chaim Vital says in the name of the Arizal, that it's about the moon. That's what makes this so special. And our question was, well, there are other full moons too. But he says, the maila of the full moon in Av, humishum she'aliyah v'shleimazu, it's because this elevation, or this perfect completeness, bo la'achre ha'irida she'lifnezeh, comes on the heels of what preceded it in the month. Namely, when you think of the month of Av, the first thing that comes to mind is Tisha B'Av, the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. So in other words, like this, what about the full moon makes it special? Really, who cares? Full moon, half moon, l'may naf kamina. What difference does it make? Why would that have any bearing on our celebration of a holiday or not? So this will have to go back to the notion that Yisrael, that Israel, the Jewish people, are meinu l'levana, that we count time by the moon. So the moon's waxing and waning actually is very meaningful to us. And Yisrael doimim l'levana, that we are metaphorized as and likened to the moon. Why? Because the fact that the full moon shows up in like in the Gregorian calendar, it can come any time of the month. It doesn't mean anything if there's a full moon. Full moon shows up whenever, because the calendar is a calendar. It's a fixed calendar. It has to do with the solar year. It has to do with the seasons. And whenever it's a full moon, it's a full moon. But for Jewish people, the moon with a lunar cycle, that's how we tell time. The rebirth of the moon, that's Rosh Chodesh. The disappearance of the moon is the end of the month. And the middle of the month, the 15th, is always the full moon day. So this is meaningful. Because the moon's trajectory, or the moon's journey, the moon's waxing and waning, becomes symbolic of our people's saga. And the saga of the Jewish people is one of many highs and unfortunately many lows. Times that we are at our zenith, at our apex, and times that we're at a nadir. In fact, it seems sometimes like our fortunes are gone, disappeared forever. So because we're tied to the moon, and because the moon's rises and rests have a lot to do with our own journey, what happens with us, it's about aliyas v'yiridus. It's about elevations, and it's about descents. So now we have a principle that every aliyah can only be appreciated in the frame, in the context of a yirida that precedes it. So we have a yirida, a descent, letzoyrech, for the purpose of aliyah, of an appropriate rise, an appropriate ascent that happens afterwards. Nothing can ever be appreciated in isolation. Things always have to be taken in context. And in context, if we make a big deal out of the full moon or out of the rise of fortunes, then we have to contrast that with how loaded things get. So we say people have a good day. The good day will usually be in comparison with what you call a bad day. Mm-hmm. And as bad as those days were, that's how good some days could be. Because you experience bad times, you appreciate the good times in a whole different way. People for whom it's always good, well, so it's always good. A sunny day in Miami isn't anything to write home about. A nice sunny day in Toronto, wow. It's a miracle. Something's going on. The clouds didn't come even once. It was a cloudless day. You appreciate it differently here. Because it's framed differently. And because we get like 6 months of winter, when the summer comes, people value and appreciate it differently. Why? Because it's not just a nice day. It's a summer that comes after a winter that precedes it. So the full moon then of month of Av has to be appreciated especially because it represents the Aliyah, but framed by the month of Av, it comes from the lowest of points. And the lowest of points is Tisha B'Av. The Kivan Shiri, the Zuhiri, the Gidela B'Yaser, because it's the greatest fall. Shali Haisiri, the Kameya B'Sharaz Manim. There is no other time in the Jewish calendar in which we fall so low. That when the sun shines again, so to speak, that when there's a good day after that descent, and it's lufi erech hayirida, it's in consonance, it's in keeping, it's on the heels of that yirida, of that descent, he aliyah kazu, that it becomes such an elevation, such a rise, such an ascent, a yom tov kazeh, a happy day that follows Tisha B'Av, is a much happier day that doesn't follow Tisha B'Av. Because of where I'm coming from, shalehayu yamim tevim kamayu, that there are no yamim tevim like this. This becomes like the radiance, the shine of the future. And it's appreciated precisely because of where it came from. I don't remember where I read this, but there was an older fellow, old man, late 80s, 90s, and he was not in perfect health anymore. But for a wedding in the family, it was a fairly large family, or even in the periphery of the family, every wedding he used to go to. Anywhere, traveled anywhere in the world, a wedding he would go. And they asked him, why does he go to every wedding? And he said, because I came out of Auschwitz and I saw the lowest point of the Jewish people. And therefore, when I see a Jewish wedding, I see a Jewish future and I appreciate it. He says, you don't understand. Wedding to you is not what a wedding is to me. The wedding, every wedding is to me, is the greatest victory. That we're still here, that we're marrying, that we're bringing next generation, for me, that's the greatest victory. So he says, that's why I go to every wedding. That's why I live for this, right? The truth is, you could hear the story, but you don't understand it. You don't appreciate it. How could you? Only a person who was there could understand what that means. And really and truly, in order to be able to appreciate the value of something great, something wonderful, something fantastic, of a good day, you have to frame it by where people came from. Now, of course, unfortunately, people are negative. They don't have a chance to appreciate the good things of life. Not everybody has that gift. Not everybody has the ability to be optimistic and joyous and buoyant despite the fact that they could have gone through difficult times. But assuming that you would be, and if somebody could appreciate good things, it would always come in contrast. So the Tuba of, the Chamish Asa B'Av, the 15th day of, which comes on the heels of Tisha B'Av, is therefore greater. That's the basic explanation of the Arizal or of Reb Chaim Vital, as the Rabbeim explained it. Now the Rebbe takes this idea and develops it. V'yesh leimer. Perhaps we could further say, this is then the explanation, not only of the opening words of Lehoyu Yomim Tevim Li Yisrael, Kechamisha Asa B'Av, there were no greater holidays for the Jewish people than the 15th day of Av. And the question we had was, no greater holidays? What was it about this day that made it so wonderful? And we have the beer of the explanation of the Arizal, as Reb Chaim Vital framed it, the concept of Yerida Tzedek Aliyah, a bigger Yerida, a bigger Aliyah. The Rebbe says, but let's look at the Mishnah further. What else does the Mishnah talk about when it says that this was a holiday? It's got to give some background, some reason. And one of the things the Mishnah tells us is, Shabiyim Tesvav Ba'av, that on the 15th day of Av, Hayu B'neis Yerushalayim, and according to another version, B'neis Yisrael, not the daughters of Jerusalem, but the daughters of Israel, Yetzais, they would, so to speak, go out, V'Eimreis, and they would say, Bachar Sana Yenecha. So this was a time people looked for a Shidduch. The young ladies looked for a suitor. The Hine, Inyim B'neis Yerushalayim, the concept of the daughters of Jerusalem. Or B'nais Yisrael, the daughters of Israel. Koi al Knesses Yisrael. Everything in Torah has a literal meaning, but everything in Torah also has a larger than life meaning. So when we say B'nais Yerushalayim, who are we talking about? We're talking about the females, the young females who lived in Jerusalem. We're talking about the young girls from the nation of Israel. Okay, that's very nice. And it is very nice, and it is good, and it's beautiful, and there should be many shidduchim and many weddings. It's all good. But what does it mean in the larger than life sense? What does it represent? It's iconic of what? And the answer is according to the teachers of Kabbalah especially, but really this is broadly found in Torah parlance, that this refers to Knesset Yisrael, to the proverbial congregation of Israel. And here the Rebbe puts it in six simple words. The Chol Ha'inyonim Shelemata, because everything that exists in a lower iteration, Nishtalshalu, is devolved from Inyonim Shelemaila. Not that the Torah also has deeper meaning, but the Torah also has literal meaning. If it's here, it must come from a higher source. It doesn't come out of nowhere. So whatever we have is a representation, is in a sense iconic of what's happening in a higher reality. There's a higher reality called Knesset Yisrael, the proverbial congregation of Israel. And the proverbial congregation of Israel, when you look for a metaphor, for an example, in the material world, in our real-time reality, the answer is Bnei Yisrael or Bnei Yerushalayim. So if that's the case, who's the suitor? Who's the bachar sana inecha? If we, the Jewish people, are the bride, the would-be bride, who is the would-be groom? And the answer is, that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, is there any scriptural proof for this? Or is this just a rabbinic idea? Oh, there's a lot of scriptural proof. In fact, there's a whole book of scripture that revolves around this very idea. And the book is called Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. And the Song of Songs tells us Ba'arucha in great detail. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Bachar Ka'arazim, that God has called the tall, cedar-like would-be suitor. U'Knesset Yisrael Nikrayim Ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's the congregation of Israel, who is proverbially referred to by God in the metaphor as Achoisi, Rayosi, Yoinosi, and Tamosi. Various romantic and endearing terms. My sister, my close friend, my little dove, my perfect one. In other words, I know that this represents what? When we speak here about this Shidduch, what we're really speaking about is Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Knesset Yisrael. We're speaking about the unification, the coming together of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Almighty God in Knesset Yisrael. Shetachlas HaYichud, that when will this communion fully take place? When will there be the oneness between God and the nation of Israel? When will they experience that marriage? And the answer is that will be la'asa lovely. This is in a time that is yet to come. U'kemevur b'medrash, like it explains in the Medrash and Shmeis Rabbah, and it's also a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. Shebizman hazeh, that in the present time, hayichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael, Ubechinas Eirusin, that the unity we have now is like a betrothment. It's like an engagement. We're betrothed to Hashem, but we're not living in the same house. We're slated to be married. We're gonna be together. That's a very long engagement. It's a pretty rocky engagement that we're having. And La Asid Love, but when the future will finally arrive, then Yihya, then we'll be Ubechinas Nisuin. Then we'll be one, then we move in together. Then we're actually going to be married. But that didn't happen yet. That we're still waiting for. So in other words, the relationship between God and the Jewish people is metaphorized as a relationship between a would-be bride and a would-be groom. But the bride and groom have yet to consummate the marriage, have yet to actually celebrate the wedding day. But instead, it's just a betrothal. It's what's called Eirusin. So we're in an Eirusin state now. This is the words then of the Mishnah. There were no greater festivals to the Jewish people than the 15th of Av. What does that mean? What is it essentially referring to? If we frame this Aliyah, this full moon, this trajectory of growth or perfection is framed by the contrast of where we came from, of Tisha B'Av. Okay, what's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the greatest galus. So then what is the aliyah, what is the rise, what is the complete perfection that we experience after the destruction and the catastrophic reality of Tisha B'Av? What is that? That's when Mashiach comes. Showing in aliyah, the loss of love. This is the aliyah of the future that comes. Shala acharei ha-yirida, the Tisha B'Av. That follows the yirida of Tisha B'Av. Shehi aliyah nailis b'yeser, that this is the greatest of heights, the greatest of ascents. Because the daughters of Israel are, so to speak, going out and dancing in the vineyards. And are saying, young man, raise up your eyes. That this refers to Tachlas Hayichud Kutchabricho v'Knesset Yisrael. This refers to the ultimate union between God and the Jewish people. And in the way of marriage, which Sheyiyah, that will only be La'asid Lavai. In other words. So Lehoya Yomim Tevim LeYisrael, there were no greater joyous festivals to the Jewish people. Chamisha Asabav. We said, okay, how come? What made this festival special? Comes the Arizal and says, full moon, Kaimasiya Bashla Musa, and our Rebbeim say, yeah, there's like a few holidays, like maybe a little one like Pesach, Sukkot, full moon, like it doesn't work. So, one second. It always has to do with the contrast. Where are we? The theory of relativity. What are we talking about? What are we comparing it with? So when we compare it with Tisha B'Av, then we understand why the full moon here has a whole different kind of meaning. Now, the Rebbe says, so let's take it further. What does the Mishnah describe? The Mishnah describes Shidduchim. The Mishnah describes oneness. The Mishnah describes coming together in marital bliss. Yeah, but this business of marital bliss, this business of togetherness, ultimately is really a metaphor for a deeper reality that speaks of God and the Jewish people. So then we're speaking about the union of God and the Jewish people. And the union of God and the Jewish people is only going to be realized in its fullest sense when Mashiach comes. So the full moon that we're celebrating, or the celebration that takes place when there's a full moon, is ultimately a celebration that's recalling, or perhaps presaging, a joy which is futuristic, namely it's messianic in nature. And that messianic in nature joy and fervor is ultimately represented by the true union of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So in other words, the joy is about the coming of Mashiach. Okay, and that's how we started this thing. We're saying that the full moon is in comparison with Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av bookends Galus, what's the other bookend? The coming of Mashiach. The beginning of the journey is Tisha B'Av. The coming of Mashiach is the end of that journey. It's the end of all journeys, but it's certainly the end of that journey. So then it makes sense to say that it's the same theme that applies to the idea of the full moon being more special because it's an Av. Because it's followed by Tisha B'Av, it's the same concept of the union of God and the Jewish people, which is also futuristic. So in other words, the joy of Chamisha Asar B'Av is a futuristic joy. This is somehow all connected to the joy, the eternal joy, that will come when Mashiach will arrive in Mirtz Hashem. Hine Yadua, now let's get practical. Let's bring this down into our realm. We know She'ikir Sibasaya Yirid Va'agolos Va'achurban the Tisha B'Av. The primary cause, the prime mover and shaker of everything that happened, the prime catalyst, is the idea of sinas chinam, is the idea of wanton, empty, unearned hatred, animosity, and acrimony amongst us. Hepech avas Yisrael, the opposite of love for each other. Ukiyadua she'ikri yinachurban, that the real destruction was in the bay of Bayis Sheni, the second Beis Hamikdash. Like it explains also when it describes the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash in spiritual terms, in Eitz Chaim, that it says that Maimedu Matzav the Sfiras Hamachos was Managolos Bavel, the situation of the proverbial level called Malchus, called God's dominion in the time of the exile, the Babylonian exile, which this is what followed the Churban of the first Beit Hamikdash, was Naila Yeser, was in a higher, loftier spiritual level. Afilu mimaimodo matzova bezman bayis sheni. Can you imagine? The spiritual level of the Jewish people during the time of Golus Bavel was loftier than the way it was during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. In other words, there was a greater spiritual consciousness without a Beis Hamikdash during the Golus of Bavel, even more so than when we had a Beis Hamikdash during the second Beis Hamikdash. That's how diminished was the spiritual consciousness during the second Beis Hamikdash. That's what we call the second Beis Hamikdash, a Churban Beis Hamikdash, a Golus Beis Hamikdash. The Mizem movement from this is understood, She'ikir HaYerida, that the real descent was when the Churban of Tisha B'Av was the Churban Bayis Sheni. Because after the Churban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, it's not like we were entirely bereft of God, of God's closeness, and we didn't entirely lose that level of God consciousness. V'chein muvan gam me maimer azal al pasuk. There's a maimer azal, a teaching of our sages, which is found in the Zohar. And it's based on the pasuk, which is found in the book of Job. The pasuk says, V'nohar yechariv v'yivash. That the river was destroyed and dried out. So yechariv, destroyed by Yisrishin. That refers to the first Beis HaMikdash. V'yavesh, but totally dried out. That refers to Bayis Sheni. The Inyan Yavesh, a dried river bed, who Yeser mi Yechariv. It's more than just a river that was destroyed. It was a river, and now it's a muddy pool. Now it's not really a flowing river, but it's still something there. But dried out, there's nothing left.
Lamata
Yeser, it's lower. The Chain Muvin began by Pashtos. This is understood in the most literal way, like if you look in the Gemara Masechet Saita, it says this pretty clear. That we know that the second Beis HaMikdash, there was nothing left. Today we don't even know where the Beis HaMikdash was. We have an approximation. We know it's on that mountain somewhere. We don't know where it was. In the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was actually a building left. There was a ruined building. It was ruins. There were foundations. There were walls. It wasn't like there was nothing left. These were the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's nothing. So this terrible Churban, in which there was nothing left, with Tzion became a field, nothing. We say, Migdash Sheini b'pnei ma nechrav, the second Beis HaMikdash, why was it destroyed? And what's the answer? Why was it destroyed? What was the ultimate catalyst? The Gemara in Yoma says, Shahoysa b'yisin aschinam, because Jewish life is characterized with hatred, with an inability to get along in any way, shape, or form. U'kumavur b'mokam acher. This is explained elsewhere, and here, the Rebbe references the cryptic, short, concise memorandum of the Alter Rebbe. Shezeu gam shomer azal. This is also what Chazal said b'negei l'galut l'churban bayis sheni. That it says about the second Beis HaMikdash's destruction. Acharenim sheli nizgala aveinim l'nizgala kitzah. The question that the Alter Rebbe asks is, why is it the first Beis HaMikdash 7 decades? Second Beis HaMikdash, we're now going on 150 decades. It's a little unfair. Something doesn't seem right. 70 years? 1,500 years. Sorry, 1,951 years. Sorry, my math is off. So what happened over here? How can such a thing be? And the answer is, Mishum, because le'nizgalo kit le'nizgalo avenim, because the sin was unclear. And because the sin is unclear, very hard to fix when things are wrong, but you can't diagnose. Can't get your finger on. You don't know what's wrong. You can't actually point to the problem. So this general malaise is very hard to heal. You have something specific, you heal it. You know what it is, you diagnose it, you heal it. Mishum shesina schinim hu ba'efin kazeh. What do you mean? We know the reason. The reason is sina schinam. Well, here's the problem. The sina schinam is not really identified. Nobody gets up and says, I hate you. Why do you hate me? No reason, I just hate you. I hate everybody. No, people don't say that. Say, I hate you. Why do you hate me? Because you stepped on my toe last week. You did step on his toe last week. But that's not really why you hate him. You hated him before. In fact, you're so happy he stepped on your toe. Now you can make it official. In other words, that the whole idea is that the sin has chinam ba'efin kazeh shebegol on the overt way malbishim is hasina be'zatam. We find there's a reason for the sin. Ki'ilu asina yesh lo siba. As if this, that I can't stand you and you get in my way and you disturb my importance. As if that's the reason, A, B, or C. But the real reason is, you can't stand people because you can't stand them. End of story. And this is the problem. The problem is that none of the people, not us, of course, we're all big tzaddikim, but none of those people out there who have the acrimony and hatred for others, none of those people could actually own up to just hating people for no reason. They have such good reasons for hating people. They can write you a book why they hate somebody. So they have very good reasons for it. So that's not really why they can't stand them. Well, if nobody's acknowledging there's a problem, how are you going to find a solution? The answer is you can't. You make it hilo hasibu yesh lo sin, as if there's good reasons for this hatred. And the hazula so ashim, it's my fault, it's his fault. This is great. Make it somebody else's fault. I hate him, but it's his fault. Because that person made me hate him. Because that person did all these bad things to me. And that's the meaning of le nizgalo avaynim. The sin is unclear. Nobody knows what the sin is. Because the cause of this whole disaster is unwarranted hatred. So how do you fix it? So what do you mean, fix it? Fix it, I can't fix it. I don't know what the problem is. We don't have clear diagnosis. Nobody is ready to own up to the fact that he hates people for no reason. Everybody's got a reason. And they have good reasons. Logical reasons. So how are we going to fix this? The answer is one way. You can't fix the actual sin of chinam because nobody thinks it's chinam. So what could you do? Positive reinforcement. Work on avas chinam. That's it. Just work on free love. Wanton. Love him for no reason. In other words, the mishum zeyes hadgashim yichedes, the Rebbe says, this is why there's such an emphasis today, at least in theory, on the concept of avas yisrael achar ha-churban. That after the churban basement, what do we need to talk about? We need to talk about and focus on avas chinam. And especially now in the time, just before, in the footsteps of Mashiach, where there's a darkness unprecedented. Kasha kol Yisrael mitzaplum Mashiach, when everybody is yearning for Mashiach. The bias Mashiach toli ba'achtos Yisrael. That the coming of Mashiach, it hinges on the togetherness of the Jewish people. Like we say, Borcheinu Avinu, bless us our Father, when? Kulanu ke'echad. When we can get it together as one. Ba'er panecha, by the light of your countenance. In other words, that the gilu, the revelation of Er Panecha, has something to do with us being together as one. And this is the meaning of Er Panecha, is the gilu of Mashiach. Like it says in the Psikta, on the Pasuk, Ba'urcha Nira Er, that it says, Eza Er Shekneses Yisrael Mitzapa. What is the light we're waiting for? This is Eire Shal Mashiach. And this is the first half of the Maimer. And the Rebbe connects to what he said before about the notion of the Bnei Yisrael going out, and then the idea of Ma'im Ganim, Be'er Ma'im Chayim, and how every neshama is like it's compared to a river. The Rebbe links all of this together and ties it all as one, explaining to us, furthermore, why this is the happiest day of the year and why we have to all work on making the reality of Chamisha Asar Ba'av, on the 15th day of Av, the reality that will finally catalyze the coming of Mashiach, Memhedra, will be Amenu Amen. Thank you all for joining us. Shabbat Shalom and Kol Tov. Happy Tuba.